Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
It gives me a great, great pleasure to welcome my guest to this morning's programme, and it's the wonderful, inspirational Vera Toomey, all the way down there in Cork. Good morning, Vera, and welcome to Lifeline.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
I'm great. Ava has been going through the mill for so long now, and you have supported her so well, you and your husband, and juggling all that with your other three children. You're just amazing. Between your walk into Dublin from Cork and all the other things that you've been doing in the last good while, like, you're brilliant, you are. And first of all, I just want to say to you, while I have this opportunity, to be honest with you, Vera, give yourself a pat on the back, because you are an amazing mother. You are a fantastic mother, what you're doing for your child. Fair play to you, because I don't think that there's a mother in Ireland that wouldn't agree with you, or a father, and your husband too.
Gee, thanks very much. I mean, I appreciate that, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, at the moment, where do you want to start off, Vera?
I don't know, Leslie. Where do you want to start off?
Well, we start off telling the listeners, first of all, you have a little girl and her name is Ava, and she's 7 years old, and she has a rare form of epilepsy.
That's correct. She has a rare form of epilepsy. It's called Dravet syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very tough condition to have. It's a hard hand of cards to be dealt. It's an intractable form of epilepsy, which means that it's drug resistant. It's a kind of epilepsy that seems to, no matter what medication you're put on, like a lot of people would have very well controlled epilepsy with the pharmaceutical medications, and that's fantastic when it is controlled. But mm-hmm. with Dravet, the seizures tend to break back through any of the medications and kind of, it realigns itself, and, you know, the seizures begin again and over again. Mm-hmm. Ava went through 11 different forms of pharmaceutical medications from the time she was diagnosed with Dravet at 4 months old. And it's a very, very long, it's been a long and difficult journey, like any parents, you know, when mm-hmm. you get a diagnosis like this, I suppose you obviously turn to the doctors and they prescribed the medications, and, you know, we went through the first, the second, the third, the fourth, and, you know, we thought, like, well, okay, if these haven't worked, you know, then they're positive about the next drug, and maybe that's the one that's going to hold the seizures and solve Ava's problems. But mm-hmm. as it went along, you know, I think, like, people say you're inspirational and everything like that, and that's a fantastic compliment, but I don't know. I think any mom and dad that kind of have a child, it's like a journey, you know what I mean? You learn a lot as you're going along, and you kind of have to find the power to keep going for their sake. And for us, when all the medications failed, and, you know, we got terrible prognosis of Ava's future from the neurologist in Cork, you know, that she wasn't it was all about, like, what she wasn't going to achieve. She mm-hmm. wasn't going to walk. She wasn't going to talk. She wasn't going to do this.
Yeah.
And Paul and I just said, you know what? No, she will. She'll do something anyway. Whatever she does, she's going to do more than what you're expecting of her to do, because we're going to put our heart and soul into trying to help her to achieve. Like,
you've really proved them wrong, Vera, by, I mean, from the very start, the videos that you posted up on social media with Ava having seizures, they were very disturbing and very upsetting. And it wasn't in a way, it was in a sad way, that God loved this child. But you have just there proven to your word that yourself and your husband, Paul, have gone, broke those barriers and broke that mould and said, no, she will progress, and quite right too. And I was looking at her eating her dinner the other day, and yeah. I was looking at her last night, God love her, dancing for you, and she's saying, Mammy, look at the eyes, and your husband taking the videos, and he's at the moment over in Holland. I mean, there you go. Is that not proof in itself? Like, your work is coming to fruition for you.
Oh, she, like, he's over there now with her, and she's doing, I mean, she's doing as good as that, Leslie, without her sisters and her brother,
yep.
and without her mom.
God love
and,
her.
Like, you know, like, the thing is, it's a real disgusting thing that somebody like Ava, who's vulnerable, you know,
yeah.
like, she's having great control of her seizures now at the moment,
mm-hmm.
but she's a vulnerable person. And,
yeah.
like, you know, with any condition like this, everybody in the family is a key part in their own way to helping a person who has a difficulty, you know, just by loving them, you know, like, just by being there, just by chatting, you know, like, aside from any of the therapies, aside from any of the physio or the speech and language or the OT, which of course people know, you know, mm-hmm. you'd never get enough of that anyway in this country.
Yeah.
It's the love of her brother and her sisters, and, you know, being in a supportive environment is key to helping children to move forward.
Yeah.
And our daughter is moving forward in Holland. But you know what? In these weeks that have passed now since we have had to come home with the other children,
mm-hmm.
like, she could possibly have achieved more in these weeks if we were all together, and if she was in you know, if she was out here in Habaluk, you know, where we live at home, and
mm-hmm.
with the dogs and the cats, and everything that's familiar to her around
yeah.
her, you know, it's
yeah.
very, very wrong.
And just to say, Vera, I know the majority of people that are tuned in know your story, but for those of them who don't know your story, that the reason that your daughter is, your 7-year-old daughter is over in Holland with your husband is because the medication that is stopping her from having, which was over 10 seizures a day, is legal.
Oh, it could have been over 20, Leslie, sometimes.
Unbelievable.
You know, it was even more than that, yeah.
Yeah, well, the reason that Ava is over in Holland now with your husband is because the medication is not available to her here. It's available in loads of countries throughout Europe, Washington, loads of parts of America, Australia, Poland, for example, as well, and in Holland, medical cannabis. It's a form of a medication that's stopping Ava from taking these severe seizures, which could lead to detrimental effects, really. And that's why you and your family initially had to leave, because you can't get the sufficient drugs to keep her from having these horrible seizures. And then, unfortunately, you had to come back to Ireland because your other two children are starting back in school. So that's it. Your family now is torn apart because this scientific breakthrough is not being pushed forward enough in Ireland. Now, I know that people are probably listening to this broadcast, and quite right too. We all have, our suspicions, and people will be thinking, you know, well, like, the sounds of that. Now, I don't like the sound of that. Does that sound like it's a drug, and will everybody be trying to avail of it? No, not if it's monitored correctly, the way it has been done in other European countries and worldwide as well, you know. But your family is torn apart over this. And I believe now that Ava's paediatric neurologist has to sign off on this in order for Simon Harris to allow her to have this drug. Where is this at the moment, Vera?
Well, like, where it is at the moment, I suppose you said an awful lot there, you know. I mean, like, the thing is, if you haven't read up on it, and if you haven't looked into it yourself,
mm-hmm.
yes, of course, you may have suspicions about it.
Yes.
But I can assure you that over the last several years, I have read and read and Googled and read and spoken to so many people and learned so much about the medical cannabis, the medical CBD and THC. And there are studies to kick all over the world about the dramatic improvements in varying conditions, not just in epilepsy, but in so much more.
Yes.
And when it comes to epilepsy, like there was a person described to me the other day about, you know, like some of the neurologists would say the consequences on the developing brain, for example, right? But in the case of our daughter, another neurologist described to me the other day, she said, Ava is in imminent danger with the seizures. The seizures cannot just cause, you know, brain damage or a loss of movement or paralysis, but they can cause death. So Ava was living with the possibility every day, every hour of the day, that she could go into a seizure that could last for several hours, that could deprive her brain of oxygen, and that she might not come out of at all. And unfortunately, when you're experiencing 10, 12, 15, 20 tonic-clonic seizures, they'd be the big ones every day.
Yeah.
Never mind maybe, you know, hundreds of other types of less noticeable seizures in the weeks and months. Your body weakens. Your body is your body is weakened by these seizures. And when it comes to the medical cannabis and the way that it is prescribed and the way that it is issued, over in Holland, it is not handed out like paracetamol.
Yes.
It is a carefully considered program that the neurologists will discuss to see whether it is an option or whether it is in fact a suitable option for your relative or for your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, or your child. It is given out and it is prescribed the same way that like a pharmaceutical medication would be considered as, would this be the next option? And
yeah.
It is professionally done. The people that are caring for Ava over in Holland have years, have actually decades, in fact, of experience surrounding medical cannabis and epilepsy and neurological disorders. And what is blocking Ava's return is the intransigence, I suppose, of the neurological community in this country to accept that there is proof out there. That, I mean, the pharmacy over in Holland had offered the Irish government and the Department of Health the opportunity to get training regarding medical cannabis. The Cannabis Bureau of Holland was spoken to by TV3 News when they went out to do a report on our daughter, and we were so lucky that they did that.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, RTE have not given Ava the coverage that she deserved as an Irish person in need. So we have to, you know, take our hats off to TV3 News and their excellent reporters for making the effort, the significant effort and cost, to come over to Holland to be with us and to talk to us about Ava.
Yeah.
And that Cannabis Bureau of Holland were willing to train anybody in Ireland surrounding the prescribing and the use of medical cannabis. Because, you see, the thing is, they are proud of what is happening over there. They are proud that they are living in a country where they are helping people who couldn't get help elsewhere. And we are absolutely blessed that there are people out there that are looking to the future, because there isn't a shadow of a doubt that medical cannabis is going to be part of our future.
Yes.
For conditions like the epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, for the treatment of cancer, for
Parkinson's,
autism,
for
many, many other conditions, you know?
Yeah, it's like almost depriving a pregnant woman of having an epidural. I know that's not really like a huge comparison.
I think it's a great comparison, because, I mean, any of us that have had babies, you know, there might be a bit of a cloud around the whole thing, but, you know, you can remember the pain. You can remember what it's like.
Yes.
And
I remember...
Can you imagine, going to a hospital in Cork and having a sister living over in Holland that had a baby, and you had a baby in Cork, but you weren't allowed to have... medication to ease your pain.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about with Ava. It's medication not only to stop seizures, but to ease pain.
Yes.
Because these seizures, when you're recovering from these seizures, you're confused, you're out of it, your body is aching, your muscles have gone into spasm and they're trying to relax, and you may go into another seizure again before you ever even recover from the ones that you had previously. So, you know, I think it's a brilliant comparison, actually.
But you know something that you're actually saying there, Vera, recovering from the seizure that you've had previously, there you go, that's putting it in a nutshell. And you know something, Ava is now 7 and she's only coming on, starting to really talk properly and all of these things because of the treatment that she's received. And this has been deprived to her and basically stopping her from coming on. So if they need more time, she's to deteriorate in the meantime, where this evidence has been brought to light in other countries that it does work and it's doing more good than harm. So why can they not see that this is the thing, this is the way forward? And we are not being, you know, out there compared to other European countries and worldwide countries and given this drug. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about CBD and THC?
Of course. CBD is legal in Ireland. CBD is the short name for cannabidiol.
Yeah.
And although CBD is legal in Ireland, and when we began Ava on the CBD oil in October of 2016, when, like I said to you, she was experiencing probably upwards of 500 seizures every month. When we began the CBD oil, the Charlotte's Web oil, actually we were getting it in Dublin, in the hemp store in Capel Street, is where we were fortunate enough to find great people who were able to, you know, advise us and inform us about more about CBD, because like that, you're learning all the time from people that have been involved with CBD for you know, years and years, and in the case of Jim, probably all his life, you know. The CBD, the Charlotte's Web, we were getting it there. But the thing is, Leslie, we weren't being prescribed it. We were taking an opportunity to try something without the supervision of doctors. Now, obviously, we informed our doctor that we were going to try Ava on the Charlotte's Web, but it's a totally unsuitable set of circumstances to be going to a store to buy the oil yourself and having to learn about it and getting no support from the neurologist who could get the training and the necessary information from all parts of the world. And you'd wonder sometimes, like, when they go to conferences and when they go and meet each other, my God, couldn't this be one of the things that they're talking about, you know?
Yes, exactly. I just have a text in from a girl here, Tara, and she said, the most difficult thing in the world is to watch your child in pain, knowing you can give them the drug to relieve their pain, but someone is stopping you.
That just encapsulates the whole thing. That was the whole horror of the whole thing. That, like, it was legal in other countries and you could read the stories and you could read the medical reports about how people were succeeding with it, but we couldn't access the THC legally.
Yeah.
Now, the THC, you know, it can be got, you know, and there are people who are using the THC, you know, in the shadows. And it is working for them. But the fear of that and the worry of that is something desperate for people altogether.
I know. You don't want to be going, like, you're worrying about your kids, you're worrying about Ava. The last thing you need to be doing is be doing something illegal as well on top.
And you see, we didn't want to go down that road for a number of reasons. Like, you know, if you're getting the THC illegally, you like, for a little girl, you need consistency of what you're using. And the terrible fear would be, like, that it wouldn't be consistent. Mm-hmm. Whereas over in Holland now, we have the THC. It's produced in a pharmacy. It's produced in, what do they call it, a clean environment,
yeah,
in a lab. And everything is the same. If you get a bottle at the beginning of August, it'll be the same as the bottle that you'll get at the beginning of September. And the thing is, anybody like using THC illegally over here has the fear of prosecution. And for us, we had the fear that if we did that,
yeah,
then, you know what, maybe they might take Ava away from us. Because if Ava's levels were checked inside in the hospital, like that would be normal and regular, that levels of medications would be checked. If an illegal substance, a Schedule 1 drug, as THC is at the moment in Ireland, if that was found in Ava's system, then we could be charged, or Ava or the rest of our children might have been taken away from us.
That's a very good
and that's
point.
That's a desperate situation to be in, because, like, all we want for Ava, look at, when it comes to our daughter, look, Ava's not going to be going to UCC or Trinity College or anything like that, you know. Unfortunately, you know, you have to accept that, you know, it's going to be a different journey than the hopes that you would have for your other children. But all we ever wanted for Ava was that she'd reach her potential.
Yes.
That she wouldn't be written off. That mm-hmm. she wouldn't be just diagnosed with something. Here are the tablets, take them. Oh, they're not working. Well, you know what? In like October of 2015, they told us, take your daughter home and make her comfortable.
Imagine that. Now, that's horrible.
And, you know, that's just not good enough. It's just not good enough.
It's not fair.
People with disabilities and people with problems here, that there's help, you know, in just, and not even the other side of the world, but just in another country, just an hour's flight away.
Yeah.
And that these doctors, they're in contact with each other all the time, and the evidence is there, and the progress is there. And it's anybody that wants to go to my Facebook page, Vera Toomey, you can see the videos. And you know something, if you have any doubts at all, Ava's an innocent child, and the evidence is there in front of you. If you go back on the posts and the pictures of Ava from, you know, a year and a half or 2 years ago, at times she was a very, very ill-looking little girl.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it is anymore, and it's because of medical CBD and THC.
And she
now
is full of life now.
THC, and I didn't answer your question, sorry.
Yeah.
The THC is necessary in Dravet syndrome, because CBD works effectively on its... Sorry, I beg your pardon. CBD works well on its own.
Yeah.
But when the other component of the cannabis plant, the THC, which the long name for it is tetrahydrocannabinoid,
mm-hmm.
when that is introduced with the CBD, it shows greater improvement in treating your symptoms. And for our daughter, it was the seizures. And the seizures were reduced even further,
yeah,
with the THC being introduced. And also, it's the, you know, our expectation was always to try and stop Ava's seizures, to give her a chance to progress.
Yeah.
But I believe that the CBD and the THC together has helped to improve her cognitive ability, her ability to speak. You know, Ava can eat independently now. You know,
yeah,
she might rather a lot if, you know, you got the spoon and fed her for her. But, you know, but she can do it herself. And,
yes,
you know, we encourage her to do that herself, to give her that independence.
But that's
and
just like, goes
that
to show,
what,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, like reaching her potential and giving her as many of the skills as she possibly can to be productive for herself, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It must be so hard for you and so frustrating for you that you're constantly, every time you're coming up with a solution. I mean, you have practically done the research yourself. You have practically diagnosed your own child. Let's face it. Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't say I diagnosed my own child.
Yeah.
Like, what I would say is that we have done every bit of, you know, reading and study that ordinary people can do.
Yeah, that's what I kind of meant, yeah.
You know, and you know, you can, the evidence is there, you know, and like, the thing about it is, if I can go on and find medical reports and, you know, studies, like, one of the studies that's very, very good is, or reports that's very good, is published by a gentleman over, a Professor Michael Barons over in Newcastle University.
Yeah.
And anybody, like, with the multiple sclerosis, the epilepsy, you know, the glaucoma, all of these conditions, he goes through many of them in that report. And, you know, it's like, medical cannabis is not a miracle cure for everything.
Yeah.
It works well for some things and it works better for other conditions. Like, in terms of epilepsy, it seems that Dravet syndrome is one of the conditions that it works exceptionally well for.
Yes.
But Michael's report, like, is very balanced, and I found it very informative because it was just ordinary speak. And, like, you know, I didn't have all of the medical jargon, you know, kind of nearly wear you out to try and understand it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's available if you Google it. That report will come up two or three searches down. That it's a very interesting read.
The Barnes report. Do you know something, Vera, though? But for all the effort and everything that yourself and Paul have made and fighting against the odds and everything and continuing your journey and saying, you know, all of these things, going to the extreme of having to separate your family, in the long run and at the end of the day, despite the fact that she's not here in Ireland, she's making enormous progress, and this has to be something that needs to be looked at. I mean, you travelled then to Barcelona with Luke Ming Flanagan, and he's from People Before Profit, and then Gino Kenny, to buy medical cannabis for Ava, and then you were stopped in Dublin Airport, and it was taken off you. You went through the Declare channel, so you were hiding nothing, and it was taken off.
No, I didn't hide anything.
Yeah.
And actually, I got a lot of criticism for declaring it. But the thing about it is, the way I felt about it at the time, the way I still feel about it, I'm not doing anything wrong, right?
Yes.
I'm not a criminal, you know. I might have a penalty point or two, but that's about the sum total of it. And like, for the fact that we went over to Barcelona, we met doctors. We discussed with the doctors over there. We, you know, their recommendation was essentially similar to what has gone on in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, all the medications were tried, and that this was another option. You know, it was something to try to see whether it would be effective. Like, coming back that day, I said, you know, I'm not going to pass through the airport and let the government be able to say that I smuggled something into the country.
Yeah.
Because people shouldn't be forced to do that.
Yeah.
And I know people have to do that, but it doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah, and then, like,
and
you said,
they brought out their sniffer dogs, and when they lined us up against, they took all the passengers that were on the plane and they lined them up against a wall and brought out the sniffer dogs, and they searched everybody. Now, the ironic thing was, they didn't find the THC that I had in my hand. I stepped forward and showed it to them, because they asked me whether I had something to declare.
Did they know it was you?
Pardon?
Did they know you? Like, were they able to identify you without knowing who?
I think I'm fairly identifiable at this stage, unfortunately. I don't think I can get away from this voice.
That's unbelievable, though, that they'd done a line-up and they had a sniffer dog, and the sniffer dog couldn't sniff it out, and you came for... That's mad. I didn't know that now.
Yeah, that's what happened. And then Gina Kenny, who... I don't know, what part of Dublin are you in?
We're in Coolock here. We're based in Coolock, North Dublin.
My geography in Dublin isn't very good, but Gina Kenny is out in Clondalkin, and I just... I just have to say, like, that I think that ye should be fierce proud of him.
Ah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he's a real man.
He went with you, yeah.
He stood up and, like, I mean, like, I'm not a Dublin person. He could have just come into the AV room above in the Dáil long ago and just said, oh, sure, she's someone from Cork, that's not my problem. But he didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, he was in contact with another family in his locality who have a little girl with Dravet syndrome as well.
Oh.
And they asked him if he was elected, would he do something to help the situation? And you know what? He has been there since June of 2016. And, you know, he's tolerated, you know, being on the phone with me all the time. And I just think, you know, you're lucky. You're fierce lucky to have a fella like that up
yeah.
there that has principle and that will stand up for ordinary people.
Yeah.
Because there really isn't another, well, I mean, I must say Richard Boyd Barrett and Breed Smith and Mick Barry have all been wonderful. But 'tis Gino was the man that was there for Paul and
yeah.
me and Ava from the very word go.
Fair play to him. Just a quick one here. THC, I just want you to let the listeners know that some people, there is no, actually no high in it because it's so minuscule.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. It's just fear that people might be thinking, you know, oh, medical cannabis, oh, wow, try and get that on prescription. That's not the case at all. You don't get a high off this.
No. I'll tell you what it is. The CBD, for anybody who wants to experience a high, it's of no benefit to them at all.
Yeah.
There's no high or psychoactive effect from CBD. On the other hand, with THC in high percentages, there is a psychoactive effect. So that would be what people who are interested in getting high would be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the case of medical cannabis, like what it is Ava gets one drop of THC medication 3 times a day
yeah.
alongside a morning and evening dose of her CBD oil. And what the THC is for is to activate the CBD more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more efficient. Our daughter is not high. And
yes.
anybody who would be on the correct dose of CBD, their child, they do not experience a high.
That's
so, and anyone that would have any, you know, any kind of doubt about that, I think, again, going back to look at the videos, you can see, what you can actually see in Ava is such a brightness.
Yes, you
it's
can,
not,
actually.
It's not sedating at all. It's,
yeah.
It's actually quite the opposite. It's given her more life. It's given her ability. So that's the thing. It comes down to again when it's prescribed by a doctor and when it's a regulated substance and when it's consistent. The high for a child or for an adult would not be part of taking the CBD and THC on a daily basis.
Yeah. You know, it's just, it's terrible. It's a sad situation. And I know in the future, please God, that there will be a day where this will be legal and there will be an end to your suffering. I mean, people, poor people that are on drug addicts, God love them. It's okay for them to receive methadone, you know, to help them with their sicknesses. And that's an illegal drug, even more so than cannabis, you know, because, I mean, cannabis is in a lot of places in the world not an illegal drug in comparison to heroin and so forth, you know. And that kind of makes me kind of say, well, shouldn't this be looked at more in, you know, more on the broad spectrum here, that of if we're going to really bring it down to Class A drugs. Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean to say, anybody that gets stuck in the drugs, like on the heroin or the cocaine,
God love them, you know.
Like, do you know, of course they deserve all these injecting centres and everything. I mean, it's a great thing because maybe if somebody goes to a place like that, they'll be in contact with positive people who might be able to help them move forward and get off the drugs eventually.
Please,
you know?
God, yeah.
But the thing is, for people like my daughter, she had no choice. Mm-hmm. She had no choice about this. These are the cards that she's dealt, and like, she deserves to be cared for as much as any other person does with a problem, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so many of us, you know, through our lives, you know, the road isn't always going to be straight, and you know, you have to overcome something. But like, you need the cooperation of people around you, like, to help you get through this. And that's all we're looking for.
Yes.
What we're looking for is not dangerous or unreasonable. It's just looking to try and ease the suffering. The same way for the people that are in the the methadone clinics and all these places, just to have the support to help them.
Yeah. Vera, we're coming up now to 8 minutes. We've 8 minutes left. If anybody wants to get another text in, it's 087-6944-500. Now, you won an award recently. Do you want to tell us a little bit? And we want to talk about the Garden of Remembrance this Saturday before we let you go.
Sure. I won an award on Monday. There might be one or two listening maybe that voted for me for it. And I must say, lads, like, I thought being nominated for this Hidden Hearing Hero
yeah.
award was amazing, but to actually win the overall prize was just unbelievable. There was a prize of €2,000, and that €2,000 was donated to a charity chosen by the Hidden Hearing organisation. I think it went to Crumlin, so like that's fantastic. It was lovely. It was really great to be acknowledged, and I just, you know, we had a little meal, and they got the prize, and Paul Brennan from Fair City presented me with the prize. So God, I was delighted.
Oh, Fair City! I love it.
it was very nice. It was.
Ah, and this Saturday in the Garden of Remembrance, Vera.
Then on Saturday coming at 2:00. There's going to be a gathering outside the Garden of Remembrance, and there's going to be a number of speakers at this gathering, and they've asked me to speak at it, which, you know, of course I'm delighted to do. And I would just say, I suppose, to people, look at, you know, like, it's for us, it's about Ava and
yeah.
easing her suffering and getting her back into Ireland and getting it sorted. For somebody else, it could be a relative or a friend, and I would just say, you know, it's 2:00, and maybe people could arrange their day somehow, or get someone to mind the kids, or, you know, I know it's hard,
yeah.
but it's so important. It's not just about a couple of people, because none of us know what's coming down the tracks for us, and this medication could be something that you might need, or anybody listening might need, in the next year, or 5 years, or 10 years.
Now you said it, yes.
Because it's available out there, and it's working for other people in all parts of Europe and around the world, it's worthwhile to make the effort to come and to make your voice heard, because I think that without standing up and being there, you know, we have to, as a community, I think, we have to stand up and let the government and the Department of Health and all of these people above in Dublin know that we need this.
Yes.
And that we want it, and that we have a right to have it the same as any other European citizen has to help our families.
Just a quick one, Vera. Basically, if a doctor... we'll say if Ava's paediatric neurologist is aware and makes a recommendation that she does get the medication, is it not as simple as that Simon Harris has to sign off on it? It's going through a process.
Yeah, I think now at this stage we have a paediatric neurologist providing Ava with the support that she needs over in Holland.
Okay.
There's a team around her of all other specialities to help her. We have the medication. We have the proof that the medication is working. The only thing standing in our way now is being granted the licence.
Yeah.
And getting the cooperation of the neurological community in Ireland. That's all that is standing in our way to bring our daughter home.
Do you think that you'll be waiting a long time for that, Vera? It's probably a stupid question because, you know, these things can take a long time.
Well, I mean, I can't say to you, like, I don't know how long it's going to take. I think most definitely, unfortunately, it's not going to be weeks, it's going to be months.
Yeah.
That we're going to have to be separated, which is very, very hard to bear. But,
yeah,
you know, you kind of take one day at a time. But as far as I'm concerned, Ava will get her medication. Because if paediatric neurologists and specialists over in Holland have recommended that she's placed on this treatment, then it must be allowed. It has to be allowed for her. It must.
Yes.
The length of time it's going to take, I don't know. But, like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I mean, like, if I have to put my coat on and walk back up to Dublin again, girl, I will do it, you know.
God, because, love you.
You know, like, yeah. Before we went over there, there was obviously worry and concern about, you know, hoping that it would work. Would she be seizure-free? But she is seizure-free.
Yes.
And she is speaking and she is dancing and she,
yeah,
she started singing Galway Girl one of the days.
I seen Paul prompting her to continue singing it too. But do you know what, Vera? I'm going to have to let you go there. And you know what? I'd love to talk to you for the rest of the day, to be honest with you, to bring your story more so into the light, because your journey is kind of... I'm hoping it's coming to the end for you, really and truly. I really do. And I know everybody that's out there listening is really rooting for you and all. And I just think that there's so much more that we could talk about. We didn't even get to talk about what happened in Leinster House that day that you walked up and everything else that's happened. But you know what? In the meantime, I want everybody to continue to support me. And if people can, go to your GoFundMe page and help you, because it is a financial strain to you as well. And
We didn't get any support from the government and we weren't allowed to access the treatment abroad scheme for Ava to help with the costs of being over in Holland. So, like, I have to say that, you know, everybody's contribution to helping us to stay there has just been the reason why we're able to be there at all.
Yes.
You know, we're not made of money and we wouldn't have been able to afford the cost of accommodation and just daily living over there without people's support. And if you wanted to share the GoFundMe page, you know, we would be very, very grateful.
So if people log on to GoFundMe and they can put in Vera Toomey, is that how they'd go about it?
Yeah, we're on Facebook and I'm Vera Toomey and the GoFundMe page is there. And a friend of mine also said that if we set up a bank account for Ava as well, that if people are uncomfortable with giving their details on GoFundMe,
mm-hmm,
that they can donate directly to the bank account if that suits.
Excellent.
And, like, you know, I just can't tell you what it means, like, because this is her chance, you know.
This
is her chance of a good life.
Exactly.
And you know, it's working. It really, really is. It's working so incredibly well over there.
Vera, I have to let you go. Thanks ever so much for joining us on Lifeline this morning. It was a pleasure talking to you and I can't wait to talk to you in the near future. And I really and truly mean that, the very, very near future. And the best
thanks
of luck
so
on
much.
Saturday. God bless you and your
please,
family.
Please send us a link of it to put up on the Facebook page. That would be great.
Okay. Thanks a million, Vera.
God bless.
God bless, love.
Bye, Lizzie.